Brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're just going to be in one verse, but I want to read a little bit to get the context in our minds. We'll get to that verse here in just a moment. 2 Corinthians 1, let's begin in verse 8. Apostle Paul said, "We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Now here's our text. "Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." Now the Apostle Paul declared here that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. And then he glorified God alone for delivering his people in the past, in the present, and in the future. But then, speaking by the Spirit of God, he also says the saints helped by their prayer. The saints helped by their prayer. Do you find that strange? He tells us to trust only God. He tells us only God is our deliverer. And then he says, this deliverance came by many helping through their prayer. Does God use the prayer of his saints? What's the purpose of God in prayer? What's he using prayer for? God uses the means of prayer to edify the one praying as much as those for whom we pray. God uses prayer to edify the one praying as much as the one for whom we pray. Now, first of all, God indeed uses the means of prayer. He said there, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." Now, believers pray for one another. That's so. Believers pray for one another. We know that's true because prayer is of God. It's not of us. Just like faith is of God, just like repentance is of God, just like continuing in faith and persevering in faith, just like righteousness and holiness is of God. Prayer is of God. Turn over to Psalm 27 again. Christ produces prayer in his redeemed. Christ is the intercessor. He's the intercessor. And he's the intercessor for his people. Look here in Psalm 27. Before we ever had spiritual life, before we ever even knew Christ, before we ever even were able to pray, Christ prayed for his people. He made intercession for his people. We saw here in 27 the faithful obedience of Christ while he hung separated from God in darkness on the cross. While he bore the sin of his people to justify us on the cross, he was faithful to God. And this was his prayer while he hung there. Verse 9, "Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." That was his prayer to the Father while he hung on the cross. And it was a perfect prayer to God. And now he's justified his people and he's risen and he's ever living to make intercession for us. And so whenever we are in any trouble, and at all times, Christ is there with the Father praying for his people, "Hide not thy face far from him. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been his help." He's praying this for us when we're not praying. "Thou hast been his help, God, O God, my Father. Leave him not, neither forsake him, O God. Thou art the God of his salvation. His wounds plead this for us. His righteousness pleads this for us. His presence pleads this for his people there at God's right hand. And when we suffer light affliction, when we come into these light afflictions that we think are so hard to bear, or one of our brethren suffers, we often cannot pray. Or we won't pray. We can't find it in our hearts to pray. But remember what we saw in that psalm, the life that I now live. How do I live it? What's the strength of my new man? Christ lives in me. In the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so Christ comes in the power of his blood, and he comes in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he enters in and he speaks effectually in our hearts, and he says, "Seek ye my face. Seek ye my face." And he speaks that word effectually. When he does, we glorify him for making us willing and able. Then we say in verse 8, "When thou saidest, seek ye my face." When you said it effectually. "Then my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." That's how Christ produces prayer in his people. Just like he produced faith in the beginning. Just like he produced repentance. Just like he continues that work. This is how he produces prayer. He tells you in your heart, "Seek me." And that's when we'll seek him. That's the only time we'll begin to truly pray for to him. And then he makes us pray, verse 9. Then we pray, "Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." Christ produces that prayer. He prayed it on the cross. He prays it at God's right hand for his people, and he makes you pray it. And then look to Romans 8. Go to Romans 8 with me. We're seeing how that prayer is produced by God. We can't glory in praying. Prayer is produced by God. Romans 8, look at verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. "But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." I just said Christ brings us to pray what we read there in Psalm 27:9. But often it doesn't come out of our heart like that. We can't even utter the words. We just moan and groan. And that really is prayer produced by Christ. But when it comes up to Christ, to even the Spirit makes it a perfect prayer. He makes it come to God like it ought to be. He makes intercession for us. "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." See, he knows the will of God, and he makes intercession according to the will of God, even when we don't. So seeing it's by our Redeemer and by the Spirit of God that we pray, we know that God's saints do pray. Now let me give a word of warning here. We don't glory in ourselves for praying. We don't praise ourselves for praying. We glory in the Lord. Christ is the one who produced it, so we give him the glory. The Spirit of God produced it, we give him the glory. God the Father is working his will even in prayer, so we give him the glory. And let me say this too, and I hope you hear this. I'm saying this for you here, and I hope others hear it too, but I'm saying this for you particularly. It's not good to be on social media writing, "I'm praying for you." That's not good. That's not good. Indeed, we ought to comfort our suffering brethren. We ought to let them know we're praying for them, if we really are, if we have. But it's easy to say. Very easy to say. It's much more difficult to do. And I wonder sometimes how often it even goes beyond just writing it or saying it. But beware of writing it on social media, because that's announcing it to the world. And that's very close to what Christ told us not to do. Look at Matthew 6. Our Lord was very clear on this. Look at Matthew 6. Look at verse 5. He said, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men." Now somebody might say, "Well, that's not why I write something like that on social media." The heart is it's desperately wicked. Be careful. Be careful. Look at what Christ said. "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." That's all it was. It wasn't really prayer. They wanted to be seen of men. So they prayed to be seen of men. Men saw them and said, "Boy, they really do pray a lot." That's their reward. That's what they sought. That's what they got. But watch this. Verse 6. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." He's just saying, just where it's just you and the Lord alone. "And when thou hast shut thy door," that's making certain that you're alone, is what he's saying. "Pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." You see that? I'm not discouraging anybody from praying for your brethren. I encourage you to pray for your brethren. But we ought never do anything to be seen of men. We ought not pray in public, because it's just, the Lord said, don't do that. Don't do that. You don't want anybody to look at you and think you're something. That's not the purpose of prayer at all. And that's not really prayer. God won't hear prayer except it's produced by Him. And God won't hear prayer except it be between you and God. But then He will hear. And I pray we hear that. But God does use the means of prayer. He does. He produces it. We know He does. He produces it. We glorify Him for doing it. Now, secondly, here's the first purpose of prayer. Here's the first purpose of God for using prayer. Through prayer, God unites His people together at Christ's feet. Through prayer, God's uniting His people together at Christ's feet. Look here, verse 11. "You also helping together by prayer for us." Our help preeminently is God alone. Paul just said that. He said, God delivered us. We were pressed so that we shouldn't glory in ourselves, but trust in God alone. He delivered us, He is delivering us, and He shall deliver us. God is the one who delivers us. He did it in election when He chose us in Christ. Christ did it by His blood on the cross. He delivered us by His blood, delivered us from the curse and condemnation, delivered us from our sins. And the Spirit of God delivers us when He quickens us, brings us to faith in Christ. And our God continues to deliver us and shall deliver us till that day we're in glory with Him. And He will not lose one that He chose and redeemed. And so we just saw that it's God also who puts prayer in the heart. So I want you to understand now, God's getting all the glory for what we're talking about here. But He says here, God gave Paul this word. And God gave Paul this word to say that we are helping together by praying for our suffering brethren. God is gracious to us, isn't He? He don't have to use us. He don't have to use us, but He does. That's grace to use His saints to pray for one another. But the key word here is together. That's the key word here, together. God uses the suffering of our brethren, and He uses the means of prayer to bind His people together at Christ's feet. Our prayer, now get this now, this is not what the world will tell you. Our prayer is not moving God to us in any way. Prayer is God's means of moving His people to Him. That's the purpose. Now, I want you to picture prayer like this. You picture a flock of sheep. They're out there in a field, in a pasture. There's shepherds out there. And you got One over here, feeding over here, off to himself, and a couple of more together over here, not far from him, but a little separate from him. And you got some over here feeding and some over here. They're all in the same pasture. They all got the same shepherd, but they're a little scattered around in that field feeding, you know. And as they fed, they've just sort of wandered. And they've gotten a little separated from each other out in that field. And here comes the wolf. God allows the wolf to come into the field. Not to destroy his sheep. Just to cause some suffering. Just to cause us to see our need of the shepherd. So here comes the wolf into the field. And all those sheep begin to huddle up together. They're defenseless. Sheep have no way of defending themselves. And they all huddle up together right at the feet of that shepherd. And that shepherd goes over and he takes up that little lamb that wolf's wanting to prey on. He takes up that lamb and puts it on his shoulder. And the shepherd walks along and all those sheep just follow right along behind him, right at his feet. That's what God's doing through prayer. We get separated. We get out from one another and feeding, and we kind of get out off to ourselves a little bit, and God causes a wolf to come. Not to destroy, but just to work this purpose. And we all begin to huddle up in prayer at God's feet, at Christ's feet, at the feet of our shepherd. Whether we're right here together, or whether we're in our homes, or wherever, we're all huddled up in prayer for that suffering sheep. We huddle up in prayer at Christ's feet, all of us together. This thing is spiritual. We're not separated by walls and streets and towns and all that. When we begin to pray to God, all his sheep are coming together at Christ's feet. And that's what God's working it for, to bring us together. And very often we're here together and we pray together. But it's to bring us together at Christ's feet, to behold him and see our need of him constantly. That's a good purpose, isn't it? He brings us together. That's the first purpose of prayer, to bring us together at Christ's feet. Now, here's another purpose of prayer. It's to keep us acknowledging, keep you and me acknowledging, every believer to acknowledge and continue acknowledging that every gift we receive is from God alone. Everything we receive is from God alone by his free grace. And just keep us acknowledging we need him to keep us. We need him ever keeping us together by the gift of his grace. Paul said there that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons. See, the gift was bestowed upon us. And that gift that he's talking about was that deliverance. He delivered us from so great a death. And he said, and you help by your prayer. And he said that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons. He's saying that gift, God did it, but he used the means of many persons to bestow that gift. He used the prayer of the saints to bestow that gift. Now don't misunderstand, God does not have to use means. God's the sovereign God of heaven and earth. He made this place by speaking it into existence out of nothing. He's all sovereign over everybody, every ruler, from the greatest to the least. He's ruling all. But he's chosen to use some means. God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He chose the means of preaching. And he chose the means of prayer. He chose the means of prayer. First, to bring us together, like we just saw. But also to keep us always acknowledging that we're ever dependent upon God for every gift. And it's all by his grace. He makes us ever acknowledge that. But now I want you to understand something. Go to Ezekiel 36. Though this is the case, and this is surely certain. From eternity, God already purposed and predestinated the gift that God will give to each of his children. From eternity, God predestinated the time, the place, that he's going to deliver each of his saints. The first hour he makes us believe, he predestinated that time and place from eternity. And when we come into danger and we're suffering, and he's going to deliver us from that trial. God purposed and predestinated the time he would deliver us from eternity. Every trial. There's nothing new with God. Everything he determined to do in the end, he purposed from the beginning. So the bestowal of his gifts, not a new thing with God. It's not new with God. When he delivers us, it's not new with God. But watch this. Ezekiel 36:33. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities. See, God, he said, I shall. He's already determined it. It's going to happen. He said, in that day, I'll also cause you to dwell in the cities. He said, I will. I'm going to cause this to happen. He knows it's going to happen for all his people. And the wastes shall be builded. God's determined it would be built. All the his church shall be built. And he says, and the desolate land shall be tilled. That desolate heart of yours is going to be tilled, and mine's going to be tilled, and so it will be in all his children. He already determined it. Whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by, and they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I will do it. Nothing new with God. He knows every deliverance he's going to work for his people from the beginning. But watch this, verse 37. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. God said, in other words, you're going to pray to me and ask me to do this. You see, he already knows what he's going to do. He already determined it from the beginning. But he said, but you are going to pray to me and ask me to do this for you. And I'll increase them with men like a flock. God has chosen the means of the prayers of his saints, not for us to persuade God to do something new or to persuade him to do what we will. That's not why God uses the means of prayer. God's chosen it to bring us to ask God to bestow what God already purposed and predestinated and promised. That's the purpose of prayer. The purpose is to keep his saints ever acknowledging that our God is eternal. Our God is sovereign. Our God is working his will at all times in all his people, even in the heathen. And he's going to bring his will to pass. He is going to plant his people, and he is going to build up his church, and he is going to save all, and none shall be lost. And the purpose of prayer is to bring us to acknowledge God alone can and shall do it, and to make us to ask him, Lord, do what you will. Do what you've purposed. That's the purpose of prayer. It's not to try to turn God to do what we would have him to do, or to turn God to do something different. It's to bring us to his feet to acknowledge every gift is from God, already purposed, already predestinated. God's going to do his will, and he's going to bring his child to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And that's true prayer. You can't pray a better prayer than, Lord, thy will be done. Then you will have for certain what you ask for. Because God's will shall be done. And that's the purpose of it. The first purpose is to bring us together. His saints together, Christ's feet. The second purpose is to bring us to acknowledge that every gift is from God, and we depend upon him to give it according to his will and his purpose. And here's another purpose of prayer. It's to bring us all, as his saints, to glorify God. He said there in verse 11, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. In other words, now that many people have prayed for us, and God has delivered us, there will be many people thanking God and glorifying God because he delivered us. Now, after we've asked God to help us, and after God's worked his will, do we thank God? that's as much a part of prayer as asking him to do. It's thanking him once he's done it. Do we thank him? I hear and read a lot about people saying, I'm praying for you, but I don't find very many people writing, I prayed thanking God for hearing and doing what he purposed to do from eternity. You don't read that very much, do you? I'm thanking God for you for doing what he purposed to do from eternity. I'm not suggesting that they should write that and announce it to the world. I'm just using it as a point to say, do we thank God? When he's done what we asked him to do, or turned us to see that what he's willing to do is better than what we even ask him to do, do we thank God for that? God's saints do. God's saints do. I know they do. Because the same one that put the prayer in the heart brings that thanksgiving out of the heart too. And it's all of him. He puts thanksgiving in our hearts just like he did put the prayer in our heart in the beginning. David suffered trial. He suffered a lot of trials. But when he suffered them, he employed all his power and all his thought and all his action. As he suffered the trial, he was acting. He employed whatever power God put in his hand to use. He employed it. And he was served by many human helpers. A lot of people prayed for him. And he prayed to God. But when it was all said and done, David only gloried in one. He gloried in God for working his will and saving him. You get what I'm saying? You can use what God's put in your hand to use. And pray. And others pray. But when it's all said and done, who do we thank? We thank God. God did it. And we thank him. All gifts and all powers given us to help, for us to help ourselves with it. Whatever he's given you to help yourself with, he gave it to you to help yourself with it. And all human helpers are gifts that God's given. But when all those things are used, the only way any of it is effectual is by God. If it means he's put in your hands to use and you used it and God worked it together for your good, you can't glory in the fact that you used the means he gave you. God worked it for your good. And he gave you some helpers. He gave you some saints, some brethren to pray with you and pray for you. But who made them pray? God did. And who worked that for which they prayed? God did. And the same's true of our prayer, isn't it? So we only glory in God. And notice it says here, it's the thanks of many that goes up to God. Not just the one who suffered. If I suffer and I pray to God to help me and deliver me, I've received so many nice texts and emails and comments from y'all because you knew I had told you last week I've been having some trouble. And some of you were very kind and said, and that was comforting to me, and I appreciate it. You did it privately. You let me know. We're praying for you. And I'm thankful for that. That was encouragement to me. So we all prayed together, and through the means of many persons praying, when God works his will and gives you that comfort, delivers you from that trial, then there's many people praying and thanking God for what he did. You see I don't know what else to say, but just our God is all wise in everything he does. Just like he brings us to the dust, and he brings glory to himself by using the means of preaching the gospel, he does the same thing using the means of prayer. He keeps us right where we need to be. He uses the means of prayer so as he enables you to pray. Paul said, pray without ceasing. Prayer is a spirit of prayer. It's a spirit of constant dependence upon God. And God's people pray, and we learn to pray without ceasing by his grace. And then prayer brings his sheep together at the feet of Christ. So remember, that's God's purpose. And remember it as you pray. Don't make a show out of prayer. That's not going to bring anybody together. But in secret as you pray, remember this is to bring all his sheep to Christ's feet, where we need to be together. And then by prayer, he keeps us acknowledging that all our help is God alone. And so in all our prayer, we acknowledge, Lord, we need you. We need your grace. We need your power. We need you to work your will. And by prayer, he keeps us crying out to him in thankfulness, giving him all the glory. So remember, this is something I need to be reminded of. When God has delivered you, thank him. Go to him and pour out your heart with as earnest desire as you did when you prayed for him to help you. And thank him, because it's all of God. Everything he does. Doesn't that give a lot more meaning to prayer than what the world gives to it? You know, when I first came here, I came out of the deep south, and they make a show out of prayer down there. I mean, it is a show. See who can pray. They get together, and they got prayer captains and prayer warriors, and they give them their prayer team's names, and it makes me sick. Make me sick. God's saints pray. We do, because this is means and purpose for which God gave it. So let's remember these things. Thank you. Let's stand together, brethren. Our Heavenly Father, we are continually seeing the wisdom, your wisdom in the way that you do everything. This thing of praying we take for granted, and yet you've worked these wise purposes for it. And we do thank you for that, Father. We thank you that you've caused us to pray. How often we pray just saying prayer. But then you did for us what you did for Paul, and you made us to truly pray. Lord, make us pray. Intercede for us. Make us to come together. Make us to see our need and our dependence upon you. Make us acknowledge the gifts that you give to us. And make us thankful, Lord, for this work. How wise and how powerful, how good you are to work your will in this earth. And Lord, we pray. We don't know what to pray for. We don't know what you're doing, what you plan to do, what your purpose is in particular. But we do know, Lord, that you've purposed to save your people. And you've purposed to do it in a way that gives Christ all the glory. And we pray, Lord, that you do just that. Work your will and honor your Son and call out your people. Keep your saints together. And Lord, bring us home. Bring us to your feet one day, all together in person, face to face, where we'll continue forever thanking you for this great work you've done. We pray these things now, Lord, in the name of our great intercessor, Christ and him crucified. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. We ask it now by your grace, by your mercy. Amen.